Welcome to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 15. Let's get started.
Okay, first of all, we want to welcome everybody back to our True Blood podcast. We are excited that the season has started.
And we are so happy that everyone has supported us so much over the past year.
Yes.
Through our self-imposed hiatuses with our other shows.
Yes.
And we are back to stay with True Blood, and we're excited. So,
yeah. So, Sister J. Okay. So, let's get started. This is Sister J. I'm going to do the recap for this episode. It's episode 25, and it's called Bad Blood. Okay, if you remember, it starts out with the kind of a recap of what happened in the season finale, and we all know Sookie was in the bathroom crying after Bill proposed to her in the French restaurant. So Sookie rushes out of the bathroom, and as she's rushing out of the bathroom, she's saying, "Yes, I'll marry you, Bill," and then she notices that Bill is gone. So there are signs of a struggle in the restaurant. There's chairs turned over and wine glasses spilled over. And so Sookie runs out of the restaurant calling Bill's name down this long sidewalk. And the restaurant owner is out there also, and she's kind of, you know, alarmed. And she says something to Sookie in French that we don't understand. And so Sookie's asking her, you know, "Did you see my boyfriend come out? Did you see anybody take him? What?" And this owner says, "Ah, those effing vampires are always creating drama." But she says it in French, and then she just walks on off, you know. It was really funny. Then we see, in these first scenes, we see everybody and what everybody's doing. The next person we see is Sam. And Sam Merlot is driving his little truck down to Arkansas because he's going to try to find where the Mickens live. If you remember, he went to his adoptive parents, and his adoptive father gave him a handwritten note that let him know that his parents were Joe and Melinda Mickens. So he's trying to find him. So that's where we see him. Next, we see Jason. If you recall, Jason was the person that shot Eggs in the head from 20 feet away. About 20 feet or 20 yards away. Because he thought Eggs was getting ready to stab Andy. Because Andy was on the ground kind of cowering and everything. Jason rushes into his house and he is upset. He's scared and, you know, tripping over stuff. He locks the door. He's knocking over his lamps and stuff because he's just really scared. Of course, he goes into the fridge and gets a beer, you know, but he's breaking up some stuff, and he's just really upset. Then we're back at Merlot's. In the parking lot, we see Tara. She's, crouching over Egg's body, and she's crying. And as she's crying out there in the parking lot, then Bud, the sheriff, he's draping a white sheet over Eggs, and the camera's really close, probably where the bullet wound went in his head. There starts a little bitty dot of red blood on this white sheet, and then it spreads and gets bigger and bigger. I thought that was pretty cool. And while Tara's crying, then Lafayette has come over to her with a jacket and, you know, puts it around her shoulders and kind of eases her up and helps her back into Merlot. So, you know, he's trying to give her some support. Then we see Jessica. If you recall, we left Jessica. She was biting that trucker out of that truck stop. So we see Jessica, and she arrives back at Bill's house, and she's up on the front porch, and she notices that there's a bouquet of flowers left, and she reads the card, and of course it's from Hoyt. So she's looking really kind of pensive and thinks, you know, she just got this look on her face like, "Oh, that was so sweet of him." And then she kind of looks around. And then she unlocks the front door really quickly and pulls the body of the trucker into the living room. Next, we see Bill is in the backseat of his own car. And he has been kidnapped by these four men. There are two men in the backseat with him and two men in the front. Of course, the driver and the front seat passenger. And they're taunting Bill, and they're sticking him and prodding him, but they're feeding off of him. And the driver is driving real, real fast, and they're drinking Bill's blood. Well, all of a sudden, Bill's cell phone rings. And so the leader of these men he looks at the phone. He says, "Oh, Sookie Stackhouse, huh?" And he says, "That must be that nice little lady that we saw you back at the frog place." And I thought that was hilarious because I guess in a French restaurant they serve frog legs or something, you know. But I thought that was really funny. And then Bill is just kind of wincing in pain. And so the leader throws the cell phone out of the car and it smashes on the road. So, you know, Bill's upset about that. And then he sticks a knife in Bill's chest. And of course, all the men are laughing. So, it's terrible. Well, the next scene, we find Deputy Sheriff Kenya Jones. Remember Kenya? She's the little deputy sheriff. And she's talking to a very agitated Sookie outside the French restaurant. And the owner is kind of leaning up against this car and she's smoking a cigarette, you know, kind of listening to him. Although we don't know that she speaks English yet, but she seems to be understanding what they're saying. So Sookie's trying to, you know, tell Kenya that, you know, Bill's been kidnapped and why aren't you doing something and why are you letting that woman, meaning the owner, trample all over your crime scene and stuff. And Kenya gets kind of irritated and she says, she stops Sookie immediately and she says, you need to address me as Deputy Jones, you know. And so then she has Sookie tell her, you know, what was she doing right before this happened. And Sookie tried to tell her, I was only in the bathroom for a minute or two. And Kenya, I thought was funny, she said, well, what was it, 1 minute or 2 minutes? You know, she just like messing with her, I think. So, of course, Sookie demands that Kenya file a missing persons report on Bill. And she lets her know, well, I can't do that because he's not been gone for 48 hours. That's the rules. So, and then she says, so, you know, that's all I can do. She says, so, do you want to ride back into town or not? And so Sookie, I guess, indicates yes. And so Kenya looks at this little restaurant owner and she says, merci beaucoup. But she says it in such a country way. I was dying laughing. Funny. It was so funny. And then she gets on back in the patrol car and it's going to take Sookie back. Now we're at Merlot's. And Arlene is giving her oral statement to Bud, the sheriff, about, you know, what she saw and everything. And Andy Belflore is sitting in a booth across the club, the restaurant part, kind of listening to him and waiting for his turn to, you know, talk to Bud. Andy seems very agitated and nervous. His little leg is shaking and everything. And Lafayette is over at the bar with Tara trying to, you know, calm her down and kind of console her and everything. So Terry Belflore comes in and he sits down in a booth next to Andy. And he tells Andy in his little crazy way, you know, I know how you feel. You know, I know how it feels to kill a man. And, you know, you're still a good person and everything. So Andy tells Terry, I love you, man. And Terry says, I love you too, man. And we need to tell each other that more often, you know. Well, about that time, Bud has finished taking Arlene's statement. So he says, okay, Andy, I'm ready for you. And as Andy is walking over to where Bud and Arlene are, then Arlene's just kind of, you know, regular chit-chatting. And she's telling Bud something like, you know, she's got the utmost respect for law enforcement because, you know, without them, where would society be? I mean, Tara goes ballistic. She jumps up from that bar stool and she accuses Arlene of not caring about whether Eggs is alive or dead. And Arlene says, I care about him, but, you know, I can't help it if you fell in love with a serial killer. Oh, it was hilarious. And so, and then she asks, but in this place, who hasn't? You know, because I think she's thinking of, you know, her own experience. So Tara calls Arlene trash. And she says that Eggs didn't even know what he was doing. And Arlene says, oh, why not? Because of his childhood or because of slavery? Ooh, Lord, what did Arlene say that for? Tara went royally off. And we'll discuss this a lot more after I'm doing the recap. But wow. Tara goes off. So Lafayette has to grab Tara to get her away from Arlene. And then he grabs a bottle of tequila and says, okay, I'm taking her to Sookie's house. And Bud, if you need to talk to Tara, you know where we be. And he, come on, Sookie. I mean, come on, Tara. And he takes her on out. And after they leave, Arlene's stomping off. And she's saying, I hate it when they make everything about race. I got some stuff to say about that when we get to it. But anyway, so the next scene, we see Jessica at Bill's house, and she's trying to keep the little trucker guy alive. And he's begging her to take him to a hospital. And he's calling her a whore and stuff, you know. But he's saying, you know, you need to take me to a hospital. And she says, but, I can't do that. And as she's, by the time she's doing that, she sees some lights and hears a car, some lights flashing by the window, and she sees a car. So she realizes that somebody's coming up. So Sookie rushes into the house, of course, and she's asking, you know, is Bill here? Has he called? Bill's been kidnapped. And so Jessica says, what? I thought y'all was only going to dinner. Oh, it was funny, the way she looked. So Sookie orders Jessica to call her if Bill either comes back or calls her and talks to her. Even if Bill commands her not to, and Jessica says, now, you know I can't do that. And so Sookie gets a little upset, and she tells her, just do it. You know, I don't care. So then Sookie leaves the house. Then Jessica, at that time, she goes back to the trucker, who is down in her little sleep cubby. And she's looking, and she finally realizes, oh no, the trucker's dead. His neck is all crooked and his eyes open. That man is dead. He's all the way dead. So Jessica kind of panics, and she tries to give the trucker some of his blood to revive him. So I guess we know that, you know, Bill never taught her that anyway. You got to be alive before you give him the blood. So the next scene, we're back in Bill's car, and the kidnappers are still speeding down the roadway, and they're still feeding off of Bill, and you can kind of see that Bill's getting a little weaker and a little weaker. Well, the man that's sitting in the front passenger seat, he's complaining about the fact that he wants some bee blood too, but, you know, he's in the front seat. And so the leader orders the man who's sitting on the left side of Bill to get some bee blood in his mouth and spit it into the other guy's mouth. And that man says, oh no, that's so gay. And the leader says, oh, no more than a man playing with his titties in front of four dudes. Oh, it was hilarious. It was so funny. And so that guy said, well, you got a point. So he feeds off the Bill, and the guy in the front passenger seat leans his head all back and he spits it in his mouth. It is the grossest scene. It is really nasty. And then, of course, they're hooping and hollering, you know, and Bill is looking weaker and weaker. And so Bill looks at the leader of the guy who is obviously the leader, excuse me, and he's telling him, okay, if your orders were to keep me alive, then you're going to be missing your orders, because the more y'all feed off of me, I will surely die. You know, so he's trying to, you know, plead with him. Y'all need to quit. The next scene we have, Jason is at home, and he's picking up all the broken little glass and plates and stuff that he kind of broke up when he first came home. And all of a sudden, Andy appears in his living room. And Andy tells him, well, you know, he drove around back and came through one of Jason's windows so none of the neighbors would see him. And Andy's there to tell him that, you know, what he told Bud in his opening statement. Or his statement, and Andy says, and I told him that I killed Eggs. And Jason said, what? And he says, well, you know, Bud is a real good sheriff, but he's kind of getting old, and he can't see all the holes and stuff anymore. So I came over here to make sure that you tell the same story that I'm telling, you know. And he says, and he says, Bud won't even notice that that bullet came from 20 feet away in the back of Eggs, you know, when he was shot. So Jason's kind of lamenting, like, oh, man, I don't want to have to go through this. And so Andy tells him, oh, well, man, you just need to act normal. Just be your normal self, just like you always are. And Jason says, but I'm not that same person. I'm a different person. And Andy tells him, no, you got to be your same little horny dog self. He says, so conscience off. Dick on.
He says, go get some tail.
Go get some tail.
Let me do it. He says, conscious off, dick on.
It was so funny. And so Jason finally says, okay.
Whatever.
Okay, yeah, I'll do it. The next scene, we see Sookie going to Fantasia. And because she's looking for Bill.
She's going everywhere.
Oh, she's going everywhere. So Pam greets her, of course. And you know, Pam tells her, no, I haven't seen Bill. And so Tookie demands to know where Eric is. And she says, Eric is a little indisposed. And Tookie says, doing what? So Pam leads her down to the basement of Fantasia, where we see Eric is having sex with his new dancer, Yvetta. That's how he pronounces her name. Yvetta. And he has her tied up in, like, it looks like a doorway, but it's not really. It's like a little triangle thing. But her hands are tied up above her head. But Eric is butt naked. So Suki is saying, holy S. You know, and I thought that was funny because I guess she just didn't want to say shit. You know.
She doesn't cuss. I mean, she cussed in this one, but she normally doesn't.
Yeah, she's not. So she said, holy S. And so Eric immediately stops. His back is still to her. And he said, oh, Suki. You know, so he turns around and he walks over to her real slow, like, you know. And then he stands there towering over her like, anything you see. And it was so funny to me because Suki is trying not to look down. Mm-hmm. You know, she's looking up, you know. And so, of course, Suki accuses him of kidnapping Bill, and Eric denies it. And then she says, well, if it wasn't you, then it must be Lorena. How can I find her? He says, well, you know, your last little encounter with her didn't go so well. But as the sheriff of the area, if Bill's missing, it's my duty. I'm duty bound to go find him, so I'll take care of it. And so Suki says, okay. And she's getting ready to leave. And then she tells him, oh, and by the way, you know, you owe me that $10,000 that you never paid me. Because, you know, he agreed to pay her $10,000 for going to Dallas. So next we're back in the car with Bill and the kidnappers. And that front seat passenger who got the V spit in his mouth, he is like hallucinating and going off. He's on the outside of the hood of the car, hooping and hollering, talking about, ooh, this is great. Well, the driver of the car is telling him, look, man, you're going to kill yourself. You need to get back in here. Well, he didn't have too long to talk because Bill cracked that man's neck. He broke that man's neck. And, of course, being the driver, the car crashes. And it tumbles down a little short embankment. Bill is the only one who crawls out of that wreckage. But we only see one body. So I do know the guy on the hood fell out in the road because they showed that. Now, where the other ones fell, I don't really know. But as Bill is crawling out of the wreckage of the car, and he stands up and he's kind of walking toward the woods, and he, in his mind, he says, Jessica. Well, at that time, Jessica's in her little sleep cubby, and she wakes up abruptly, and she's choking and shivering and gasping for breath. And she kind of looks around and realizes that she's in her little sleep cubby, and that trucker is still dead. Uh-huh. He's laying beside her, and he's probably getting stinky by now. The next scene we have, we are at Suki's house, where Lafayette has taken Tara from her loss over to Suki's house, and she's laying on the couch in the living room, and Lafayette has been feeding Tara tequila and a drug called Klonopin, he said, to help her cope with, you know, all her grief. And Suki rushes into the house and sees Tara, you know, laying on the couch in her condition, and she's, you know, Tara, what's wrong, and Lafayette tells her that Andy Belfour shot eggs, and she said, why? And, he tells her, well, because he was coming after Andy with a knife, and he confessed to killing all those women and pulling out their hearts and stuff. And Suki was just, like, shocked, you know. She was really looked shocked. And so Suki immediately, though, when he says, and pulling out their hearts and stuff, she looks really guilty, and she sits down like she really feels bad. So Tara asks her, where would eggs get any idea that he killed anyone? And Suki says, well, you know, and she confesses that Eggs came to her and asked her to help him remember what Marianne made him do, and she helped him. Tara goes ballistic. She jumps up off that couch so quick, I didn't know what it. She grabbed Suki by the neck, got her on the floor, and she was choking the crap out of Suki, her best friend, and she's yelling all this stuff. Well, Lafayette is just as shocked as we are. He looks just as shocked as we are anyway. Mm-hmm. So he finally pulls her away. And I mean, Tara is calling her F this, F that, and this, not the other. And Suki's trying to tell her, well, Tara, but we're in the same boat because Bill's gone too. And Tara's F you, F-O. It's just terrible. And so Suki tells Lafayette to get her out of my house. And Tara says, I was just effing leaving anyway. So she storms on out the door. So Lafayette apologizes to Suki before he, you know, follows her on out the door. The next scene, we're back at Fantasia. And we see that Eric has this little robe on, this little silk robe thing, a red robe. And he is pacing around the basement floor, talking on one of those Bluetooth headsets, talking to this man named Mr. Rubin. And he's telling him, look, all you're supposed to do is bring me Bill Compton. Where is he? And Reuben is telling Eric, well, by the time they got to the restaurant, Bill was already gone, and there was a police car outside. So Eric tells him, okay, look, you better find Bill, and you better find him fast, or this will be the last, or you will not live to see another sunset. And then he kind of tosses that Bluetooth over. Well, Pam is trying to calm him down, and she's telling him, look, you need to call the queen. And Eric gets real mad and lets her know, you know, there are some times when I seek your counsel, but now it's not one of them times. And so Pam kind of gets in a huff and says, oh, okay, then I'm going to Graham, which means she's going in her little sleep cubby because it's almost sunrise anyway. So the next scene we have is one of my favorite scenes. It is Sam's little erotic dream about Eric. And, you know, at first you don't realize it's a dream, but it's a dream. Sam is in a hotel room in Magnolia, Arkansas, and he's looking up addresses of anyone named Mickens. All of a sudden, Bill knocks on the door, and Sam goes to the door, and he invites Bill in. Bill asks to use his shower and asks for a clean shirt. And Sam says, well, you know, he only has one shirt, the shirt he's wearing. He said, but, you know, you're welcome to have it since you saved my life and everything. So as Sam is unbuttoning his shirt and taking it off, then Bill is looking at Sam real admiringly and saying, you know, like he got a nice little chest. And so Bill says real kind of seductively, nice. And so Sam kind of blushes and says, you know, thanks or something. So Bill invites Sam to take a shower with him. And Sam says, yes, okay. So as they are getting ready to get like closer and closer, a telephone rings, so Bill orders Sam not to answer it. And Sam says, okay. And Bill and Sam are so close to each other, they are just getting ready to kiss one another. And Sam-a-lot wakes up because his cell phone is ringing. And then that's when you realize it's a dream. I thought, whoo, thank goodness. But anyway, because I did not want to see that. But anyway, excuse me. So Sam is in the bed, so he finally answers his phone, and it's a woman named Audrey Bishop from the Magnolia Chamber of Commerce. And she's telling Sam that she did some checking, and Joe and Melinda Mickens were evicted from their residence 3 years ago. And he says, oh, they probably then left town. She said, well, I'm not saying all that. Their son, Tommy, works at this little tire company called Cornejo Tires. And then she goes on and is telling Sam this story about how this Tommy sold her some supposed to be brand new tires, but they was really used and bald as the baby's butt and everything. So Sam kind of cut her off and says, ooh, remind me never to mess with the Magnolia Chamber of Commerce. Click. You know, so because he had to go. The next scene we have is Hoyt and Jason are on the road crew because it's daytime now because sunrise has already happened. And Hoyt is, you know, complaining about his mother, Maxine Fortenberry, lying to him all these years about his daddy and how his daddy died. And Jason is kind of half listening to him, but, you know, Hoyt tells, but Jason tells Hoyt that he agrees with Miss Maxine about, you know, lying about the father's death. And Hoyt gets real mad and he tells Jason to take it back or he would stick a branch of his butt prickly in first. Oh, it was funny. And so Jason's trying to tell him, well, look, weren't you happier when you thought that your daddy was killed by robbers than when you know that he killed himself? And so Hoyt says, no. He says, I'm happier knowing the truth. So he says, well, okay. So Hoyt is trying to tell Jason that he has no place to stay. He's been living in his car. And Jason's kind of half listening, saying, yep, I've done that. Yep, I've done that. So Hoyt finally gets real irritated and says, look, Jason, can I crash at your place or not? And Jason looks real surprised and said, well, of course, man, but that's kind of a nasty way to ask, don't you think? And Hoyt's looking at him like dumbfounded, like, what do you think I've been trying to say? Anyway. Okay, so the next scene we have Letty Mae is arriving in her car at Lafayette's house because Lafayette has called Letty Mae to come and, you know, watch Tara because he's got to go to work. Lafayette meets Letty Mae on the front porch and tells her that Tara is sleeping finally and not to wake her up. So Letty Mae says, yeah, and she thanks Lafayette for calling her. And Lafayette says, this ain't about you and me building a bridge into our future, all right? And so Lafayette is kind of fussing at Letty Mae for shooting him with a gun. And he says he doesn't have time to argue with her because he got two jobs and he needs both of them. So he tells her that, you know, he only called her because Terry Mae has been calling for her nonstop like a moth to a flame. And so when Letty Mae hears that, she just smiles and she looks up to heaven and says, and giving glory to God because, you know, he's brought her little baby girl back. So Lafayette tells her that she needs to keep her eyes on Tara and not leave her alone for a minute. So Letty Mae promises not to leave Tara alone. So Lafayette, you know, gets in his car and he's telling Letty Mae that he'll be back around midnight. So, you know, Letty Mae does try to apologize to him for shooting him. This is my favorite line and one of my favorite lines in the whole episode. Lafayette is in his car and he's situating his stuff and you know, it's a convertible and she's trying to apologize and Lafayette looks at her and says, "Bitch, you, me, bridge, it ain't never gonna motherfucking happen." I love it. I want that on the t-shirt somewhere. He said, let me say that again. He don't even look at her. He is cranking up his car and he says, "Bitch, you, me, bridge, it ain't gonna never motherfucking happen." Oh, I love it. I love Lafayette. Anyway, and then he cranks up that car and he drives on off. And she just standing there like, okay. Oh, Lord, okay.
I can't believe he called her out her name like that.
So. Oh, yeah. He does not like her no more. Auntie. Hey, but he don't like her no more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. The next scene we have is a short scene. Sookie is at the police station complaining to Bud about not looking for Bill. And that, you know, Bill is the person that she loves and everything. And he needs to go look for her, for Bill. And that she thinks another vampire named Lorena. She pronounced her name
Krasicki. That's how Eric pronounced it.
Yeah. Lorena Krasicki has taken Bill. Anyway, while Bud's trying to tell Sookie to look, with my limited resources, I got to use my people and resources on dealing with these dead human bodies that I got. You know, I don't have time to be sending somebody to be looking for some dead vampire. So the next scene we see Sam. He is driving to this tire company in Magnolia, Arkansas, and he sees a young boy, a young man, working on a car, and the young man has his little overalls on, but he's got a name tag that says Tommy. So he asked him, "Are you Tommy Mickens?" Well, Tommy denies that he is a Mickens, and he says his family name is Harmon. And then he says that there used to be a Tommy Mickens working there, but he left 6 or 7 months ago. And, of course, Sam doesn't quite believe him, but, you know, so he leaves and he says, "My name's Sam Merlot," Sam Merlot, by the way. And he says, "Maybe I'll buy some tires on my way back out of town." I think he was just being funny because he didn't heard the woman say he's selling used bald tires. So Sam was just being funny. Anyway, okay, the next scene. We are at Lafayette's, back at Lafayette's house, and Letty Mae is sitting on the couch with Tara. Tara is laying on the couch with her head in Letty Mae's lap. And Reverend Daniels is there talking to Tara, and he's telling Tara that a devil woman tried to put her down, but it was just God's way of bringing her back to her mama. Oh, and Letty Mae is sitting there smiling and grinning at the Reverend, and she's beaming, and she says to Tara that she won't never let anyone ever get to her again. So now we know what's in store for Tara, because we know it's going to happen. And so then Tara looks out at the Reverend, because she's laying on her mother's lap, but she don't even look like she's all there. She doesn't even look like she's in the room. She's just there, you know, physically there. So she's in a bad way. Now it is nightfall. We see that it's nighttime again. And this scene is, to me, one of the most disturbing scenes. Bill is digging himself out of a grave in the woods. Because, you know, when it was sunrise, I mean, he had to get somewhere. But it was just so, I don't know, because Bill is always so clean and mannerly and stuff. It was just disturbing to me. But it was great, though. And then, because now we know it's nightfall, the next scene we have is Jessica is awaking in her cubby. And she finds that the trucker's body is decomposing, so it's really getting stinky. So she's trying to hold her nose and everything, and her cell phone rings, and it's Hoyt. And she talks to Hoyt briefly, and she's real glad that he misses her, and he's real glad that she misses him, and he's trying to tell her that, you know, I miss you and everything. Oh, and by the way, I've cut my hair, so my hair's real short. I'm going to look real different. And she's trying to get him off the phone because she knows she's got to go deal with this dead body. So she says, look, I can't talk right now or anything. And so she hangs up the phone. Well, Hoyt feels even worse than, you know, he did before he called her. And her Hoyt is at Murlock, so he's just kind of sitting there kind of like stunned. Excuse me. Our next scene, we're back at Fantasia, and Eric is on his throne out in the club watching Yvetta dance around a stripper pole. When the Queen Anne and Queen Sophie Anne and the Magister enter the club. And Eric uses his vampire speed to go to them and welcome them to the club. And Sophie Anne tells Eric that they need to talk alone and everyone should leave. Well, when Eric suggests that they go to his office and talk, Sophie Anne says, well, no, they can't go in there because it's bugged. And both Eric and the Magister look very surprised and annoyed to hear that it was bugged. Then Sophie Anne tells Eric that she knows it's bugged because she's the one that bugged it. And then she says, that's how I know I can trust you. When she says, that's how I know I can trust you, the Magister is looking real suspiciously at Sophie Anne. Not at Eric, but at Sophie Anne. So Sophie Anne walks through the club telling everybody to get out. All except Yvetta, because she kind of likes her. And the Magister tells Sophie Anne, nope, there'll be no humans there because I need you and Eric's full attention. So when everybody's gone, then the Magister is telling Eric that, you know, it's a little disturbing that Bonton is a... seems like it's trying to compete to be the capital of the world. And, of course, Eric denies knowing anything about it. And he says, well, that's real funny because all the other sheriffs seem to know. So, you know, you being a sheriff, how come you don't know? And he's kind of looking at him suspiciously like, you know. And then the Magister says, well, he knows that it's a vampire selling the V and not a human. Because if it was human selling V, there'd be a lot of missing vampires. He says, and you got any missing vampires in your area? And, of course, Eric lies and says, no, none, Magister, you know. So he says, so, it's got to be a vampire doing it. And then the Magister says, because, you know, vampire blood is sacred. And that wasting it on anything other than procreation is blasphemy. And, of course, Sophie Anne and Eric, you know, agree with him and everything. So Eric promises to look into the matter. And the Magister says, and there better be some results. And Eric says, there will be some results. So the Magister leaves. Next, we have, we're back at Merlot's, and Arlene is questioning Lafayette about something different in the chili. And Lafayette's just getting ready to tell her, well, yeah, I put a little cinnamon in it because, you know, it needed some punch. But at the same time, then Arlene says, it's chili. And then...
it's cinnamon.
It's cinnamon. And Lafayette says, how'd you know that? She says, oh, shit, I'm pregnant. And then she stomps out of there and heads for the break room. Oh, and as she's heading for the break room, Lafayette said, wait, you forgot your rings. Meaning, you know, onion rings for a customer. Arlene throws up her hands and says, fuck my rings. Oh, she had me done.
No, he said, you forgot your rings.
She said,
F my rings.
Yeah, F my rings. Oh, it was funny. Anyway, so Jason, so we see Jason sitting in a booth with these two young women named Missy and Jen. And the girls just graduated from New York University, and they're driving around down south, kind of, you know, trying to see things before they go to veterinary school. And so, you know, Jason keeps kind of flirting with the girls and everything, and Hoyt is coming by, and he tells Hoyt to join them since there's two of them and everything. Andy at Bellflower is sitting across the club watching Jason, and he's thinking, yeah, good boy, because he's acting like a little horny dog that he is, you know. Mm-hmm. So those girls suggest that, well, why don't we go back to follow you to your place, and, you know, we can all have sex. Jason said, yeah, come on, you know. So him and Hoyt and the two girls leave. Now, back at Fantasia, Sophie Anne is asking the Magister.
No. Go ahead. The Magister left already.
Oh, well, excuse me, he didn't leave yet.
Oh, okay.
I said he left, but he didn't leave yet. No, he was just telling him about
the V selling
everything. So back at Fantasia, Sophie Anne is asking the Magister, questioning him, how will he punish the vampire, whoever he is, that's responsible for selling the V? And of course, Eric says, or she, you know, and the magister says, well, whoever it is, the vampire has got to be made an example of in public. And then he leaves the club. So after he leaves, Sophie is complaining about how the magister is such a dull, dull person. I thought that was funny. And Eric tells her that he doesn't think the magister believed them totally. So Sophie Ann orders Eric to sell the entire supply of bee because the IRS is breathing down her neck and she says, and I need money. Well, when Eric kind of complains and says that, you know, maybe Sophie Ann is not quite considering all the implications, she jumps up in his face, grabs his chin, grabs his crotch, and orders him to sell all the blood. And she says, hell hath no fury like a vampire queen broke.
That was good.
That was really good. And she orders him sell the blood. And she keeps telling him, move the blood. Move the blood. So after she says that to him, she just is calm and calmly gets down and is walking away. And Eric is growling after her, but he don't say nothing. He don't say nothing, but he's growling though. And so then, before she leaves the club, Eric says, okay, I need to tell you something that I couldn't tell you when the magister was here. Bill Compton is missing. And Sophia says, so? I don't care about him. And he says, well, you know, Bill's the only one who can link me to the telling of the V. And she says, well, let Bill rot. I have no care about him. Move the blood. So then she leaves. Next, we have Sookie at home. And there's a knock at the door, and Pam is there to deliver the check that Eric owed Sookie to Sookie. And so Sookie's telling her, oh, this is way too much money. And so Pam says, well, but, you know, that's what you got. All of a sudden, Pam shivers and says, ooh, and Sookie says, what's that? And she says, well, Eric just called me. I got to go check in. And then she's gone in that vampire speed. So that gives Sookie an idea. So next, we're at back at Merlot's, and of course, Arlene is, you know, feeling kind of bad and everything, and because she kind of knows that she's pregnant. And then we see, and you know, Terry asks her, well, aren't we going to do something after work? And she just jumps up and says, I got to focus on my kids. So in that little talk that she do. And so then we see Lafayette is in the freezer putting up some stuff, but he's talking to Pam. And she's telling him, you got to move all the V and you got to move it all before we wake up tomorrow. He says, I can't sell all this stuff tomorrow.
No. Let me tell you what he said. He said, hookah.
Well, you told me not to say all that. I got it right here.
But you can say it. Just don't go every word for word. Well, anyway. That's a good one. You got to
tell. Well, anyway. Pam is telling Lafayette that she don't care about any of that. Well, first Lafayette says, well, why do you want me to sell the V at half price? The whole allure of the V is how expensive it is, and it's all exotic. She said, I don't care about that. You just need to sell the entire shipment by the time we wake up tomorrow. And Lafayette says, hookah, I can't sell all this stuff by tomorrow. I got a cousin in trouble, and she needs, before he can get all that out, Pam is on him. She jumps behind him. She is so close to him, and she is kind of pushing him into the shelf. And Pam is saying, she don't care. She says, I don't know why everybody thinks that I want to hear all this stuff. She says, maybe I smile too much. Maybe I wear too much pink. But anyway, she tells him, I could rip your throat out. And by the way, I'm not a hooker. Not for a long time.
Haven't been for a long time.
And so Lafayette said, plenty scared. Well, okay. Sookie has, the next scene we have, Sookie has used her key to go into Bill's house because, you know, she's got an idea about Jessica. And Jessica's standing right there by the door. And she says, ooh, I wish you would kind of let me know when you're coming back. So Sookie explains to Jessica about Pam shivering. And, you know, that meant Eric could call her and ask Jessica, did she get anything like that? And Jessica said, well, you know, last night, all of a sudden, I got real nauseous and, you know, like I was going to throw up and everything. And yes, I was shivering. So Sookie hands her the keys and said, come on, let's drive around. See if you get that feeling again so we can find where Bill is. So, of course, you know, Jessica takes the keys. And before they leave, Sookie's asking her, ooh, what's that smell? You know, because that body is decomposing. And so Jessica tells her it's a dead possum under the house. So the next scene we have, Bill is walking through the woods, you know, He's shirtless. He don't have no shirt on. He's all dirty and everything. And he spots a house in the distance. He rings the doorbell, and there's this little old lady named Olivia who answers the door. She's old, gray-haired, and sickly. She's wearing a oxygen nose plug, and she's pushing around a canister of oxygen with her. And she's opening the door asking, "Stanley, is that you?" You know, her son, Stanley. And, of course, Bill says, "No, ma'am, you know. My name's Bill," and, you know, and everything. And she says, "Well, you look kind of hungry. Come on in. Let me fix you something to eat." So Bill's coming in, fixing her something to eat. Coming in, following her. And she's walking toward the kitchen saying, "Well, I don't have no phone because it was either a phone or my oxygen tent. Nobody calls me anyway. So, well, what would you like to eat?" And she goes to turn around. And, of course, Bill bites her. So I felt kind of bad, but it turns out real good. Okay, now we're back at Lafayette's house, and Letty Mae is thanking the Reverend for talking to Tara, and she asks him if she could give him a hug, and he says, "Well, sure, you're family." Letty Mae is feeling up the preacher. She is hugging that man. He's feeling all uncomfortable and say, "Okay, family, you know." And so then Letty Mae tells Tara to thank the Reverend for, talking with her and everything, and of course, Tara dutifully says thank you to the Reverend, and then she smiles and says, "I'm going to go take a shower." And Letty Mae, with her little distracted self, she says, "That's a good idea. Go wash it all away." And she turns her attention immediately back to the Reverend. And so Tara goes into the bathroom. She locks the door. She turns on the shower. And then she just sits on top of the little toilet seat, and she's just staring into space like she's not even all there. The next we see that Sam Merlot is driving behind a van that he is following. And he's following that little guy, Tommy, from the tire shop to wherever he lives. And we see that when Tommy arrives at home, he drives into the driveway and, of course, parks and gets out and goes in the house. And Sam stops kind of a little ahead of the mailbox so that Tommy can't see him. But as Sam gets out to go to the mailbox to check the mailbox, then we hear, a male voice greeting Tommy and then his mother, greeting him and stuff too. And Sam checks the mail and he finds a past due bill in there addressed to Melinda Mickens. So he knows that's where they live. So Sam looks like real, upset. So the next scene is one of the funniest scenes in there. And I'll try to go quick. Jason is at home trying to have sex with these two girls, but he can't have sex with these two girls because every time he looks at them, he sees big old bullet hole wounds in their foreheads. And so they're asking, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And he's saying, he finally tells them, "Look, every time I look at y'all, I see a big old bullet hole in the forehead." Them girls look at him and say, "We out of here." And they grab their clothes and they leave.
Well,
it was funny. Okay. Yeah. The next scene is we see that Bill has finished feeding off of Olivia and he's glamoring her and he's telling her, she'll have no memory of it and everything. And then Bill asks her, where am I? She says, "In my house." He says, "Well, where is that?" And she says, "In Capaya County." And so Bill says, "Mississippi." And he's looking kind of worried. Well, as he's talking to Olivia, we hear wolves howling in the background. So he tells her, he gives Olivia this big stack of money, this wad of money, and says, "This is from Stanley, her son, to show his appreciation for all the, for all that Olivia has done for him." And she's just so sweet. She's just so appreciative. And the whole time we hear these wolves howling. So Bill's looking nervous. So the next thing we have, Lafayette has returned home at midnight from his jobs to find Letty Mae sitting on the couch reading a men's health magazine. And I think it's hilarious. It's got a picture of President Obama on the cover and some kind of wording. I thought that was hilarious. And Lafayette's asking her, "Well, where's Tara?" And Letty Mae says, "Well, she's in the shower." And so Lafayette yells at her, "By herself?" So he runs to the bathroom. Of course, the bathroom door's locked. And he's beating on the door, calling, "Tara, Tara." Well, she's in the bathroom swallowing a whole bunch of pills. She's trying to get them all down. And the more he pounds, the faster she's trying to swallow all these pills. The next scene we see Jessica, okay, it's two more scenes. Jessica is driving down the road, and she's just telling Sookie, you know, ooh, I'm beginning to feel a little nauseous, just like I did the previous night. And Sookie yells at her to stop because she spotted Bill's wrecked car, like, off the road. So when Jessica realizes that she has driven to the exact location where Bill had called her the night before, she said, ooh, I'm a freak of effing nature. And then she goes down and helps her drag this body out. There is no telephone on the body. There is no wallet on the body. But they're kind of looking at him, and they see this strange tattoo on his neck. So Sookie said, ooh, what's that? And she said, I don't know. So Jessica is looking on, using her cell phone to look on the internet for a symbol that's kind of similar to this tattoo on the guy's neck. And she finally finds one and says, well, this is similar. And Sookie says, well, what is it? And she says, I don't know, but it's something called Operation Werewolf. Ooh, now we get to the final scene, and Bill is running through the woods at vampire speed, and we hear these wolves howling in the background. Suddenly, Bill stops, and we see a wolf snarling at him. Then, when Bill turns around, there's another wolf, and then another one, and now there's four wolves surrounding Bill. Then Bill looks over at this little small little rising like over in front of him, and he sees this real dark gray wolf with these golden eyes walking slowly toward him. So we know that that's the leader. And now there are five wolves surrounding Bill. And so Bill faces the leader of the wolves, and he says, I should warn you, I've fed. And Bill's fangs drop down, and he's getting ready to bite. That's it. Okay, it's kind of long, but hey, I'm kind of rusty, people. Sorry about the long recap, but I'm kind of rusty. Okay. What you think?
I loved this episode. You know, of course, the first...
Exactly.
First episode of the season. You know, our appetite's already wet for all these people.
I know.
Wetted or whatever you say.
Yeah, it's wet.
And I just liked it all because we had a little bit of everybody.
Well, this is what I liked about it the most. I mean, maybe next time I'll just... stay with one person, but I liked in the very first scene before they like play that little intro music and stuff, Bad Things, I Want to Do Bad Things.
They
they showed every major character and what they were doing then. And then they broke for the little commercial thing, and then they went through the stories. And I like that because that way you could know, okay, where are they at? You know,
you kind of remember.
Yeah.
Memory.
Yeah.
I really like
it. Ooh, I'm loving this werewolf stuff, though. That was cool, the way they integrated that in there. So we know that the werewolves snatched Bill only because it was an opportunity. They weren't supposed to be the ones to snatch him. Eric had some other folks who were supposed to snatch him.
We don't know yet why they snatched him.
For the blood.
We don't know that.
Yeah, I think for the blood. They wanted the V blood. Because evidently, maybe that...
they were addicted to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like anybody else. They were getting high, just like when Lafayette sells it to humans.
Yeah.
See, because the werewolves, unlike the vampires, they are humans that shift into the werewolf. Or they can have human form. You know what I'm saying? And they can walk around in human form, like, you know, all day and everything like that. So they were getting high, though. And the reason why I know that is because... the front seat passenger guy, when he was looking back because they was having a good time in the back seat, he says, I want some V too. And after he got that V, the next time we see him, what's he doing? He's outside on the roof of the car, hooping and hollering.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's hot, you see, so.
I understand.
Okay.
But we don't know that that's why they snatched him. We assume, but we don't know for sure.
Well, I'm telling you, I think it was an opportunity. And another reason why I say that, and that's because when Bill's cell phone goes off and he's reading the name of the caller, he says, oh, is that little woman, that nice old lady you was at?
With at the restaurant.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when whoever snatched Bill, Sookie was already gone.
Oh, well, they were watching him.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It was an opportunity. They were not the ones that Eric contracted with. Eric contracted with that Reuben. Mm-hmm. And that Reuben says it's when they, and he doesn't say when I got there. He says when they got there, when we got there, Bill was already gone. See, so the people who were supposed to snatch him weren't the ones that snatched him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, on that same subject of the werewolves, mm-hmm. my whole thought was, okay, he's running at super speed. Couldn't he just keep running?
I think those wolves, I don't think so. You know why? Because, first of all, those wolves was high. We all know that.
Those weren't the same wolves.
Yes, they were.
No, they weren't. Those people were dead.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
Okay, watch. Mark my word. No, watch. Mark my word. But anyway, when Bill was running.
I do not believe those were the same wolves.
I believe they were the same wolves. No. All but the guy whose neck he broke.
No.
Because, but anyway, okay, be that as it may. When Bill was running in his vampire speed, he could hear the wolves. They weren't way back there. They were on him. So he just stopped. And the way Bill is confronting them, it leads me to believe, now we won't find out until the next episode or maybe even two episodes later, but it leads me to believe that in confrontations between vampires and wolves, that the vampires might have the upper hand.
I don't know, because the wolves attack in packs.
Well, that's true, but them vampires are quick. Yeah. Wolves attack in packs, but they don't have that lightning speed. Mm-hmm. See, so that I'm anxious to see. Know. Yeah, I'm anxious to see.
I'm just going by what the books say.
Oh, Lord, this is not like the book.
Oh, I know. It's not. But.
So let's not spend the whole season comparing the
book. Hell, we are. We're going to talk about it.
Anyway, okay, let's go back. If we can, to Merlot's and Arlene.
Okay.
Now, when she said what she said.
Well, first of all, let's start at the beginning. Tara lost her goddamn mind.
Well, Tara's a fool. She is mental. She is totally mental.
Went off on Arlene.
Went off on everybody.
For nothing, really.
Went off for nothing.
For nothing. And so, you know, if I was Arlene, I'd jump back at her ass, too.
Oh, no. I don't mean about that. But the comment.
Guess what? It was the way she said it.
It was the way she said it.
She was like.
I hate it when.
No, she was saying.
I hate when they make everything about race. Oh, Lord. I was too through. I said, oh, no, come on now.
It was funny. I thought it was funny.
Well, I thought it was funny, but I thought that was more of a commentary from the writer than anything else, because that is an argument that is going on now in our little world now. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was, oh, okay, that's a commentary on how things are in America right now. So I found it irritating.
That whole scene to me was funny because Arlene was saying, look, you fell in love with a serial killer. I fell in love with a serial killer. It don't mean nothing. Hell, you know, they both gone.
Exactly.
Get over it. Let's go on. Let's move on.
That wasn't
trying to hear that.
Oh, no. She was off.
With all of that, he wasn't his fault. He didn't know what he was doing. And Arlene was like, well, why? Because of his upbringing, because of slavery. You know, she was just going off at this point.
Because of slavery.
She was saying Tara had went left, and then Arlene went left.
Wait a minute. As soon as she said Arlene's slavery,
Terry was like, come on.
Wait a minute. As soon as she said that, I knew Tara was going to jump.
But did you see Terry? As soon as she said it, Terry was like, okay, Arlene, come on.
Come on. And he had her shoulders trying to back her up, you know. That was a very good scene, though.
It was.
That was a very good scene. But I just found it.
And she also said that because when Tara was leaving, she's calling her a racist bee.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know why, but I'm just saying that's a commentary on us right now, you know.
But also, while you were doing detail word for word recap, you didn't do one of the other best lines of the episode of that scene,
which is
Lafayette when he's like, okay, I'm gonna take Tara to Sookie's house and I'm gonna take this old bottle of tequila over chia and we gonna head over here.
That's true. I love Lafayette. I just love Lafayette.
Tequila over chia and go on over to Sookie's house.
You know what though? I am going to get a shirt with that on there. Bitch, you, me, Bridge, ain't never gonna motherfucking happen. I love that. Ooh, Lord. But okay, let's talk about Letty Mae for a minute.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord. You know what? I'm getting so I really, excuse me, I really am irritated by this character, but the woman who plays that part needs an award. She is so
good. I said that all last season.
I mean, she has got this character down pat.
She does.
It is, and you know what? The thing that I love about the way this character, this actor played her scenes, and that is, especially with the Reverend and Tara and that whole thing, I knew women like this in church when I was a kid. I knew people like that. You know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, as messed up as Tara is, and as needy as she is, and she had already been warned never to, not to leave her alone and stuff.
Letty Mae, you mean?
Yeah, Letty Mae, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. She was focused on the Rev.
She's trying to get her some Rev. She's
trying to give her some Rev.
And he was like, look, we like family.
Family.
She's like, oh, but can I still get a hug?
Yeah, and she is filling him up. But one line I didn't quote that I really liked, the Reverend was feeling uncomfortable and kind of pushed her to family. And she said, oh, I could conversate with you all day. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that's a made up word, conversate. I was cracking up. I wrote that scene back and played it again. I was cracking up.
Just the whole, I was at a little watch party for mm-hmm. the first time that I watched it. And I was like, wait a minute, y'all. Letty Mae looking awful familiar. She rubbing up on him.
She is rubbing up on him. And I was like,
oh, no. She done lost her ever-loving mind.
Lost her mind. And then, did you see her? That's why it is so funny when Lafayette comes back home at midnight. And what is she reading? Men's Health. The magazine. I was dying laughing.
Whoever's writing her character is doing a really good job.
Oh, excellent job.
You can't come from being addicted to alcohol like that. And then she didn't go through no AA. She went through the little healing, Miss Jeanette, whatever.
Yep.
So guess what? This is, and I know some people like this too. Yep. And it's kind of annoying. So now they get into the church, and now they're addicted to church.
Yes. And that's exactly what she is. She addicted. Is addicted
so
to
every
church.
Word out of their mouth, or every other word, is bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Lord, help my daughter. Please pray for her. You know,
oh God has just blessed us. Oh yeah.
Which it's fine to do that, but you know what? It's not true when they do it that way.
But you are certainly correct.
And so now mm-hmm. I think she's now going to be. She's addicted to church, and now she's going to be addicted to Reverend.
Oh, she's going to be addicted to Rev. Mm-hmm. She going to always have Rev up. Can you come over and pray for Tara?
He had a ring on.
Oh, she don't
too.
Care. But mm-hmm. you know what? When I was a kid and we went to church like four times a week, there was women like that up in the church. They didn't care. They was married too. They didn't care.
That's awful.
They was always up in the Rev's face, you know. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that scene, but whoever's writing that scene mm-hmm. knows how to write that kind of
character. Let me tell you, I mean, I like so many things about this, but one of the things I really, really want to mention that I really, really like, other than Eric naked, and that is, I love seeing so much of Pam.
I love Pam.
I love that actress Pam. That is playing her. She does love such Pam. An excellent job. And you know what? I love that whole scene with her and Lafayette in the freezer because she is. Everybody seems to want to tell her.
Because she's proper.
Yeah. Their problems. And she does wear a lot of pink, though. She does wear a lot of pink.
Now, we got to go back to the book real quick.
Okay.
Because in the book, and they explain it a lot better than they did on the TV show, which I wish they would let her have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But they kind of explain. When she's at Fantasia, she was looking awfully good in that leather.
Yeah.
In that first scene. And when she's at Fantasia, she's got to wear black. She's got to wear leather to fit in with the vampire, quote unquote, mystique. Because yeah. it's like a tourist attraction bar, mm-hmm. but she hates that kind of stuff. She likes wearing pastels. She likes wearing sweater sets. She likes wearing skirts, heels. She likes being feminine and girly and wearing lipstick and having her hair done and having her, you know, but she doesn't like all that stark black and, mm-hmm. you know, and she likes all that. And so in the books, they really explain that well. And she's more like a 50s Martha Stewart type of a woman than a vampire, quote unquote, they try to project to the tourists and stuff.
That makes sense because every scene when she is not a Fantasia, she's got like a little twin set suit on, like Jackie O used to wear, and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know,
and they explain that
and
really
proper
good.
Heels and jewelry, and she wears her purse. She always wears a purse properly. She has it draped on her arm like that. You know, just like ladies.
And she's
do.
Always cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
And so that in that scene, I really liked it too.
Yeah.
Why is Lafayette always in the freezer when they talk?
It probably has something to do with being soundproof, so nobody can hear them.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But
and
when she backed him up against the wall, I was like, ooh.
And the V has to be
cold,
refrigerated,
yeah, probably.
Because if you recall, when we first know last season that Lafayette is selling the V because Jason wants some, he goes to the refrigerator and gets it out. So it has to be refrigerated. So I'm interested to see how Lafayette's going to move all that blood. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah, that's some big-ass bottles.
Yeah, that's a lot of blood. Overnight.
But
yeah.
I love when he says, hookah.
Hookah?
But he called everybody hookah.
He does. But she said,
hookah, I can't say
I ain't done that for a long time.
In one day? What you talking about? But the other scene that I love with Pam in it was, well, two. The one was when she goes to Sookie's house and is like, why did y'all kill that maniac? She was a great decorator. But the best scene, well, not the best with her. The best was with her and Lafayette.
Yes.
But the other good scene with her was with Eric and Sookie when they were going down to the basement.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, so I take it you couldn't stop her. She's like, she overpowered me. What can I say?
I know.
I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
You want your little girl to think that you are respectable. I want her to see you naked.
And plus, she wanted
doing.
Uncle Yvetta because
she likes her.
She likes her.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I found it interesting that Sophie Ann liked her too.
Yes. Well, remember, Sophie Ann, when we first saw her, she's chomping
on a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that was good.
I really like Pam.
I just love Pam, and I hope they keep her prominent, you know,
I think they will.
This season, because she is such a good, good character, but she plays that character well, though. She just really,
and I like
really
they're
good.
Showing us her telling Eric, trying to help him, look, this is not going to go well. We need to figure this out. Another thing I like seeing is even though Eric is 1,000 years old, he's probably one of the oldest vampires in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, he wasn't getting too hepped up with the queen.
No.
When she jumped up bad, he got his little fangs out and growled.
Yeah.
That's all he did.
That's what I said. Hey, he growled
just
at
like
her.
Like a kid.
But he didn't do nothing.
Puff your chest up a tad bit, but you don't go too crazy with your mama.
He didn't say a word.
Nope. And when she bared her fangs, did you see how much bigger her fangs were?
Yes. So it has something to do with it.
I don't know how old. See, we don't know how old she is, or maybe she didn't mention it, but I don't know. Maybe it's.
But you are right, because she had much bigger fangs.
Huge.
They were long and huge.
Now, if I remember correctly, I'm trying to remember in the book. I think she's really old, too, but I think. I don't know. I can't remember, but. Her fangs were damn big.
That's a good point. They were a lot bigger than
his. Way bigger than his.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe they put in the wrong pair of teeth with her, but no.
I bet it has something
purpose.
To do with her oldness.
Mm-hmm. It has to.
Because
I don't know. Otherwise, what would stop?
We're going to have to wait and see if we ever see the Magister's teeth.
Because we've never seen his teeth.
He's ahead of everybody.
Oh, also, that's another thing. You know, obviously, you know, you have the king,
Well, the hierarchy goes.
If you read stuff in the news, and we already have read a bunch of stuff, there's going to be a king of Mississippi. So now, you know, there's a queen of Louisiana, there's a king, there's always a king or a queen of whatever state.
Right.
But obviously the magister is above all that.
Everybody. But this girl in my office did tell me that in the book there is no such character. There's not a magister.
There isn't.
But that every... Because I asked her, I wasn't understanding the hierarchy because for me, knowing those details doesn't ruin it for me because I was getting mixed up. And she explained that every state has a king or a queen.
Right.
Well, either or, not both, but exactly. Either or. And then of that state, there are the state is separated into areas,
right.
And they have the sheriff, and that's why Eric is the sheriff of Area 5, just in, you know, that Louisiana.
That one area.
Well, yeah.
But there's several sheriffs.
Right. In Louisiana, right. There are, because he's just the sheriff of Area 5.
Right, exactly.
See, so anyway, but that helped me a lot, though, and that explains so much when I watched this episode the second time, and I really watched from the moment that they entered Fantasia and how the magister acted, but how they reacted to him. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. And but he is suspicious of Sophie Ann, though.
You have to be. She's so damn obvious.
He is suspicious.
Like, oh, I don't know what. I am so embarrassed.
And you know what? I didn't get the feeling that he was as suspicious of Eric. But he is very suspicious of Sophie Ann because he's got sense. He's the head of everybody. He's got sense enough to know that if a vampire's doing it, that the person who is the head of that area has got to either know about it or be ordering them to do it.
Well, I mean, he did, when he asked Eric about if he'd noticed anything, and Eric said no, he's like, well, I find that awfully strange, because
mm-hmm.
Everybody else has. So I think that's what got him to really be in suspicious mm-hmm. when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know who they're getting the blood from, because it has to be coming from, because Sophie Ann's providing it, but where are they getting it from?
Yeah, who'd she get it from?
Another vampire? She got locked up somewhere, or what?
Well, it's V-blood, so who she get it from?
Could be anybody.
Where's she getting it?
It could be anybody.
Where's Eric getting it?
I don't know. There's a lot. Because, you know, Lafayette was getting Eddie, but he only had a small amount.
But don't you remember last season when Pam was lightening Eric's hair, and he was questioning Lafayette about his Dallas connections?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were in Bontemps, mm-hmm. Lafayette was getting it from Eddie. Because remember, Eddie would come.
That's true. But they killed Eddie. That's true. So he had to get another sword.
He would go over to Eddie's house and they mm-hmm. would hook up. And he's like, okay, first we got to take care of something.
Now the V that Lafayette is selling is from Eric. Eric provided it.
Right.
So we don't know
where. I'm sure Eric's getting it from the queen.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's just telling him to get it from somewhere and sell it for her. Yeah,
because the way the time span goes.
Now, this is
that time period when Lafayette was missing Eric to the time period that they killed Eric, mm-hmm. Eddie, was not that long of a period. So, and Lafayette, as far as we know, didn't get another buyer because then he got snatched.
Right, exactly.
Not a buyer, a source. Supply,
yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't because Pam started bringing it to him.
Yeah.
You know?
After they released
him. Now, another interesting tidbit from the book, too, which I think in this episode or in later on, they'll probably explain that Sophie Ann, the queen, is broke because of the economy and because she's got this lavish house. And
well, she says the IRS.
Right. And this lavish lifestyle. But in the books, which is interesting because they're written, a lot of them before, you know, about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. before Katrina hit, everything is cool. And then after Katrina hits, like, she wrote another book right after Katrina. And a lot of the vampires in that area, their businesses were wiped out, their homes were wiped out. And so that attributed to them having to find alternate money sources and do other things. So
well, but they could still explain that in
they
here
could kind of
because
do that. Yeah.
It's modern time because Letty Mae is looking at a magazine with President Obama on the cover, so it's right. Got to be
well. It's been four you know
modern
been,
time.
Mm-hmm. The show started after that whole period,
right.
But it's kind of interesting that they're incorporating this
mm-hmm.
need for money.
Well.
Into the story.
I hope they get Hoyt and Jessica back together because I like that. I like that whole little dynamic of them too.
I don't know. Jessica done gone.
She's kind of gone off.
Well, but she's not off too far. She was trying to eat.
Yeah.
And she went too far because she don't know how to eat.
Yeah. She doesn't know how yet.
You
see.
Know? And all that time last season that we were saying she's pouring out the true blood, she didn't want that nasty stuff. Because she was started out with Eric.
And he let her feed.
Right.
On bikers and stuff.
So that's why she would dump that true blood out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And quiet as it's kept, Bill be eating a lot too.
Yeah. You he sure is chomping up some folk.
He chomping.
He chomped that girl.
Well, he chomped out Ole. And I kept, what's weird was when when she was walking to the kitchen.
I know. I felt so bad.
No. I was freaking out. I was like, Bill, don't go after her. Because they were focusing on the back of her head way too much. I could think, she's going to turn around and be a god dang something.
No.
And going to chomp him.
No, I didn't think of that. What I thought was, I was just like holding my breath because the way they showed Bill sneaking up on her.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do that.
No.
We haven't seen him do that. And I felt so bad for her.
Poor little Olivia.
I know. And he said, what's your name?
Olivia.
Oh, she is precious,
she
though.
She was cute.
She was so cute.
Whenever somebody says Olivia, it reminds me. Do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
When you hear the name Olivia, what does it remind you of? Does it bring up any movies or anything?
No.
Oh. When I hear the name Olivia, I think of The Color Purple. When Celie is in the store.
Oh, Lord.
With, what's her name?
Her sister?
No, with Oprah.
Dang, what's that character's name?
No,
Sophie.
No, it was Sophie. She wasn't with Oprah yet. And she sees that lady, the reverend's wife in there with the baby. What's her name? And she says, well, she looked kind of old, so I call her Olivia. And she says, Olivia, that's my baby name. Mm. I love that movie, y'all.
Well, I like that movie,
The Color
too.
Purple, too. But I don't know why, but when she said Olivia, I started thinking about The Color Purple.
But she said it kind of slow, too.
Yeah.
Olivia.
Kind of like that little girl did in the movie. So anyway, sorry.
That's a way digression.
Sidetrack. Also, when we were at the watch party, and that scene comes up where Bill comes to the door, Sam opens it, and he says, how'd you know I was here? And he explains, well, you had a lot of my blood, so I can find you. And I said, that is so... I mean, we forgot how much blood...
He had a lot of his blood.
He had to give Sam so that Sam could come back.
So he could heal.
So
that's
he could
right.
heal up. So that made sense that he could track Sam.
He can.
But then, during that scene, when Bill was saying, I need some clothes, and Sam's like, well, I don't have anything... And Bill
put
was
the
just
shirt
looking,
on my back.
Yeah, and Bill was just standing there looking at him. And then he like looked him down, look up, like down at his chest and stuff. And I was like, okay, something ain't right here, y'all. Something ain't right.
I know. It was freaking me out because I thought, wait a minute.
We were all laughing. I was like, Bill looking awful. He's sexy.
I know.
He looked at him up and down. And then he's like, well, I guess I could give you my shirt. And then when he took his shirt off and Bill went, nice.
Nice.
I was like, oh, shit.
I know it.
And nothing wrong with it, but I was like, no.
I know. I was saying, no.
And that was a really good scene.
That was
though.
Excellent. But, of course, my favorite scene was Eric naked.
Oh, my goodness. His body is ridiculous. He had like 12 pack. Ridiculous.
Yep. But he played that scene really good because he just strolled over to Sookie knowing that she was looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took his time strolling over there. And then when he stood there, he was looking down on her.
Yeah, because he's like, so daggum tall.
You know, yes, can I help you? You know, that was so good. That was really good.
Everybody was naked in this show. They had a little bit for everybody. Men naked for the women or the guys. And women
true.
Naked for the guys or the girls, whichever.
There you go.
They had a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's
shirts
true.
Was off. Pants was off.
That's
booties
true.
Was everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Justin was naked, too.
Yeah. And the girls were half
the
naked.
Girls were half naked. So.
You know what, though? This is what I predict. I think Jason's conscience is going to get too much for him. And he's going to tell Bud. He's going to tell Bud the truth at some point. He gonna tell Bud.
I hope not. Because I like Andy. And
I do
don't
too.
I want Andy to get messed up.
Yeah.
You know?
I do too. But he gonna tell though. I think he's gonna tell.
Another good line, well, we already talked about it, was when Bud was talking to Jason and telling him, look, you gotta be your same horn dog self.
No, that's Andy.
Andy. Conscious off, dick
on. And he made him repeat it too.
He's like, conscious of, and he's like, dick on. It was just cracking me up.
Yeah, and I like Andy
when
though.
Jason, I love Jason.
Yeah.
Because he was so pitiful looking. He's like, well, I want to be good. I don't want to be the old me. I want to be different. But then when he was talking to Hoyt, and Hoyt was like, man, I really don't want to do all this.
I know. Oh, yeah. And he was like, look, that.
If you're going to stay with me, there's a certain amount of pussy overflow. You got to do it.
I know.
Now get up and let's go.
I was cracking up.
Phrases are just
flowing. Oh.
You know there's going to be a t-shirt with that on it.
Oh, yeah. You know it is.
You know there's going to be a t-shirt.
I'm ordering me a t-shirt from a company that you can put your own stuff on there. I'm putting Lafayette's on there.
I bet you can look it up. It'll be on there.
Hey, I'm putting it on there. Bitch. You,
yes,
me,
Jay.
Bridge ain't never gonna. Oh, I love that. I just love Lafayette. But anyway, okay. So, what else do you want to discuss?
That's really it. I mean, okay. I think we kind of covered every person.
I think so.
Tara is. I just hope we get Tara back. The Tara that I liked in the first season.
Me too.
Kind of like what we said last season about Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lafayette, and he was traumatized, but I was thinking, you know, we can't have a traumatized-ass Lafayette the whole season.
Right. And see, he's his old self now.
He bounced back. He's still kind of skittish.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's back to his same old self.
I think
we need
will.
To get the same cussing, fussing Tara, which we got.
Yeah.
But she's doing it in the wrong... Oh, wait, we didn't talk about how she threw Sookie's ass to the floor.
Oh, she jumped on her.
Choked the shit out of her.
Choked the shit out of Sookie.
I'd have told that. House.
But Sookie was so shocked. I mean, this is a childhood friend.
Yeah.
So she was
and
so shocked.
And so was Lafayette. He's like, that's Sookie you doing that
I
too.
Know. He said, that's the only friend you got in this world.
Okay, that brings us to our email. We had... A lot of different emails. So
okay.
Let me just tell you who all wrote, because a lot of them were just asking when we were going to start the podcast.
Okay.
And if we were coming back. And so.
We're back. And we're going to be on time with this one.
I want to say hi to Frank. Hey, Frank. Remember Frank?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Frank.
Thank you for writing. Idris.
Oh. Okay, Idris. Now we talked about that last
Idris,
time.
It's
I think it's Idris.
Idris. Idris.
Mm-hmm.
She never did tell us.
Well, I think it's Idris. Mm-hmm.
Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
Who
hey,
I believe
Kathy.
Is a new listener.
Oh, welcome, Kathy.
Or at least
Kathy.
A new emailer. Let's
yeah.
put it that way.
Well, good.
And actually, she was asking about a different podcast, but hey, thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows when we'll get that one done.
We will get it done.
We'll get it done, but who knows? You know, hello. We ain't making no promises because we'll mess it up like we did last
time. Oh, Lord.
Okay, Pam, another email we got was from Pam asking when we're coming back.
Oh, yay. Hey, Pam.
And she's asking also about another podcast.
Okay.
And also Jerry Lynn.
Oh, hey, Jerry Lynn.
So basically all of them just said, when are y'all coming back? Or when are you doing your new episode?
Right. We're back now with True Blood.
Blah, blah, blah. And then we got an email from Mr. J.
Hey, Mr. J.
It is not a Just to Speak True Blood podcast without Mr. J.
That's right. Go ahead, Mr. J.
Go, Mr. J. So he gives us one of his famous emails. So
okay.
It kind of takes us to that.
Okay.
He says, sisters, I hope this email finds you both well. Things are cool here in Brooklyn. How about that newest episode of True Blood? Awesome. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's so nice to have a cool summer show. My TV watching was getting a little boring with everything being on hiatus.
Yep.
I figured I'd give you my thoughts like I did last season by character.
Okay,
so
cool.
So I guess we
Bring
should
it
just
on.
Start old school style.
Okay.
He starts out with Sookie.
Okay.
He says, I felt sorry for her when nobody would listen to her about Bill. That doesn't mean she gets to run around acting all self-righteous. I know her grand taught her the lesson you get more flies with honey. She didn't need to get in Kenya and Sheriff Dearborn's faces like that. They may have been a little nicer without all the attitude. I will say this, though. If Tara jumped on me in my own house like that, we would have had a little problem. I kind of don't... you want to talk about each one?
Sure.
Because
I did not feel sorry for Sookie at all. You know, I thought it was very appropriate that nobody was taking her too seriously because Bill is dead. he's a vampire, you know. Well, so I thought, well, but what I'm saying is I thought that made perfect sense for their responses, because they're law enforcement people. They already had Eggs, who was a human being. He dead. They still got to deal with Daphne. She dead. Because yeah, that happened pretty quickly.
It's Jeanette. But, you know, Eggs supposedly killed them all. To all that.
Right. So I can understand. I didn't feel sorry for her, though. And I don't know. She was a little bit self-righteous, but
I thought she was justified in it because, look, if you have a loved one that you know does not just walk up and go like that, mm-hmm, and you know they didn't just get up and leave because they were mad, mm-hmm, you know that. And if you're trying to convince someone, you're going to be kind of forceful. You're going to be like, look, I kind of like how she was talking to Kenya. Like, why are you letting her trample all over Evan?
Yeah, but I like the way Kenya talked to her.
Yeah,
because she is in her official capacity as a deputy sheriff.
And then when she was talking to Bud, I think she did kind of soften it a little bit more. Mm-hmm,
she did.
By saying, look, you have your wife that you love, and I have Bill who I love, and I just want someone to, you know, help me with this situation. So I thought she was okay. I didn't think she'd get too rowdy-bowdy with it. You know. Oh. Okay. He goes on to say, Tara, Lafayette, and Letty Mae. What is wrong with Tara? Need I say it again? She knew that nasty Eggs for like maybe 2 weeks. I can't believe she was cussing and fussing all that mess about how he was the only man she ever loved. Girl, please. When she jumped on Sookie like that, I knew she must have lost her damn mind. Oh, hell no. First, Sookie lets her live there, and then she lets crazy people in the house. And then she acts all crazy when Sookie actually tells her the truth about what happened. Mm-hmm. Tara, get it together. She was one of my favorite characters in the beginning. I want the old Tara back. Lafayette was cool, but didn't have a lot to do except take care of Tara. Still love him, though. Letty Mae, he says, uh-uh. Sister Jay, you gotta see I'm right about that woman now, right? She is just as crazy as ever. When she got all up when she... When she got all up on that preacher, all I could think was, that's just as nasty as some of the stuff you see on Fringe. Laugh out loud. When she told Tara that it was just the two of them now, I'm afraid I would have probably locked myself in the bathroom and tried to overdose too. That woman is crazy, crazy, crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Letty Mae was filling up the preacher, I thought, oh my goodness. But I think the best comment we could make about his comments about Letty Mae is what we've already discussed and what you pointed out. She was an addictive personality. She's addicted to alcohol, and she really didn't deal with that addiction. Now she's addicted to the church.
Yep.
And in her eyes, the reverend is the church.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, she's going to be addicted to him, too. Mm-hmm. But now Lafayette, I thought he had a lot to do. I liked his part.
Oh, I love his part.
Yeah, I liked his part. I mean, I like Lafayette. And you know what? I like what they did with Tara because she is traumatized for the time being. This is, even though we had, was off for the taping of the third season, but in their timeline, it's all together. So she's still in shock. She's still in shock that this man that she's telling herself she was in love with is dead.
What he's saying, though, is they only knew each other for several weeks.
But that's, hey, there are women who do that every day.
Yeah.
Now, you know.
Even though he was tired of his old crazy butt.
Right. Now, you know, there are women who do that every single day.
Women, don't do that, please.
Please don't do that.
Don't do it.
But I can understand, and plus, we don't know what residual effect Marianne had on Tara. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, Marianne's dead and all that, and the black eyes are gone, but, you know, there might be some residual stuff.
I don't think so. I think she just feels like someone that she cared about and got her and felt her and that
right,
actually liked her back,
right,
unlike Jason, who mm-hmm, she's had a crush on forever.
That's true.
He's gone now, and she knows that she's whatever.
But, yeah, I agree with that.
I'd have had to knock her, though, when she was choking my ass.
I agree with that. But that scene was just so shocking because she come up off that couch so quick. She was laying on the couch.
I know.
She come up off that couch so quick, and she had Sookie on the floor. I couldn't believe it.
I know.
Choking the crap out of her.
Choked the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he says, Sam, is it bad that I don't really care about him finding his old family? I like Sam. His dream about Bill was so funny, but I'm not quite there with this storyline yet. I bet it will get better, though.
Oh, I love Sam.
I like
And I love the fact that he is looking for his parents, because I bet they shift, too. Somebody shifts. That's why he got to shift, you know? And besides, somebody told me, somebody who's read the books told me that shapeshifters, when shapeshifters have children, the first son is a shifter.
The firstborn.
Male. That's born. What they're, oh, okay. Firstborn is a shifter.
Because there's female shifters.
Now, subsequent children may shift and they may not. But the firstborn is always a shifter. So.
And in the books, the secondborn may not shift all the way.
Right.
Or that, not be as big of a, or.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
They may shift so their bottom half is like a goat or horse or something, but their torso on up is still human.
And they can't, like, change. And in the books, too, there's a distinction between the shifters and werewolves.
Exactly. That's
what they said. Because werewolves aren't considered shifters.
Exactly. No.
No.
And so, and they
I'm
also,
sure they'll talk about that this right. season.
And this girl also told me that in the books, everything is kind of separate, meaning just like in some racial groups, meaning that shifters mate with shifters, werewolves mate with werewolves, and you know, vice versa, and they don't really intermingle, not for breeding purposes.
Right.
And that's what the magister means about their blood is supposed to be used only for procreation.
And also, they don't, all these different supernatural beings don't intermingle.
Exactly.
Then they all hate vampires.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't know anything about, or you know, of course we know the series is not following the books all the way.
Right.
But that's why when I was first watching Who Had Snatched Bill, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Were they vampires for real? Because in the books, at least, they wouldn't have ever had that happen because werewolves don't like vampires enough to even suck their, to have their blood or
right.
anything like that.
But we also know that they were wolves or something, because vampires, it's already been established in this series that vampires don't drink other vampires' blood.
Mm-mm.
See?
That's like cannibalism.
Exactly. And it makes them sick, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. He says, Bill, what is going on here? He was pretty cool about getting away from the gang. The thing with the old lady was sad, but I guess it was nice that he paid her and made her think her boy had
visited. Oh, wait a minute, Frank. Are you saying?
No, this
I
is
mean,
Mr.
J. Are you saying it's good he paid her like a hooker?
Hooker look. I'm going to start using that, but I better watch out. I'll be at work going, hook a look. I can't do that shit for you right now. I got other stuff to do.
You better not do that.
I can't do that.
Not on your job.
I'm like, oops. Hey, True Blood. I had a True Blood flashback. Sorry,
oh,
y'all.
Lord have
he
mercy.
Says, I guess it was nice that he paid her and made her think her boy had visited. Even though we saw a lot of him, I still don't really get where this is all headed. Leading. I know where it leads in the books, but you know, they don't stick with the books exactly. I'm intrigued.
Well, I think it's an excellent storyline myself. And to me, I didn't have any trouble like following it or anticipating it. Obviously, he's going to try to avoid whoever snatched him or wants him snatched. And they're going to try to find him. It seems to me. You know what I mean? Bill's going to be trying to find him. Now he knows somebody snatching him. So, you see what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with that storyline.
He doesn't say he has a problem. He just didn't know where it's going.
Oh, I think that's probably where it's going.
He said, okay, next is Eric Pam, the queen. Eric is always cool, and I thought it was hilarious when the queen showed him who was boss.
I know. That was good.
He says, could Eric be the worst liar ever? Not very good when talking to the magister.
Mm-hmm.
He was practically holding a sign up saying, I know more than I'm saying.
I know.
I don't think so. Well, I thought Eric was pretty cool.
If
I thought
you looked
the queen,
at his facial expressions, though.
Yeah, because he kept looking over at her.
Yeah.
But I thought the queen was the one that was looking weird, because she kept going, oh, this is so embarrassing. And then she'd look at the magister or look at Eric like, keep it cool, keep it cool. He says, the queen was way cooler this time around. I actually believe she was someone to be reckoned with. Maybe the actress just needed to get a little more comfortable.
It could be.
I love that we get more Pam this season.
Yeah.
She is one of my favorites, and I love how she interacts with everyone. Yeah. More Pam, anytime, any place.
Yep, I agree.
I agree, too.
I agree.
And, y'all, we got to figure out why the queen's teeth are so damn big.
Yeah, now that, you know what, now that you mention it, though, that is something I did notice.
When I watched it the second time, mm-hmm. I'm like, damn!
Her teeth are
they
big.
They put the wrong damn teeth in there, because, wait, last season, I think they put the wrong teeth in. Well, I think it could be two things. I think they're trying to pronounce that she's got more power and age or something because her teeth mm-hmm. are so damn big. But mm-hmm. last season, when she put her teeth out on Eric, she mm-hmm. did it with Eric again last season, too, and mm-hmm. knocked him down.
Mm-hmm.
Her teeth didn't look that big. I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
They weren't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay,
so this was big.
So maybe some of our listeners.
Maybe it was a makeup error or something.
Maybe some of our listeners have some theories on that. So y'all
heard it somewhere.
Yeah, send us some email. Let us know if you know how come her teeth was so daggum big.
Thank you. Okay, he says, Jason and Andy. I love these two together. I do too. They are really fun to watch. Jason looks so sweet and pathetic when he said he wanted to be a new Jason.
I know.
I hope we don't have to watch an entire season of him feeling bad about eggs, though. A few episodes would be cool. A whole season, not so much.
I agree.
I don't want all that puppy dog crap.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I want the old Jason. Mm-mm. Arlene. I love how she made things about race and then blamed Tara for doing it. Very true to life.
Yeah.
What on earth is she going to do now that she's pregnant again?
Mm.
Oh, Lord. I don't want to say this part. He says, PWT, Poe White Trash. Even though I tend to not agree with anything she says, I think the lady that plays her is amazing.
Yeah,
she's
good.
I swear I've met so many versions of Arlene in my life that I truly appreciate what the actress does.
Mm-hmm.
She has that character down.
She does.
She does.
I mean, she is really, really good. And you know, when Arlene is on the scene, she's going to be saying something.
Jessica, how awesome is she? I love this story the most of all. The poor girl has only been a vamp for like 2 weeks, and now she's all alone and with a smelly dead body.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to forget she's a homeschooled 17-year-old. Considering all that, it makes her even more tragic and funny.
Yep.
I can't wait to see what happens to her next. I hope she and Hoyt work out, like you said.
I do, too. I like them.
Do you think she will go looking for Bill, too? It would be interesting to see what trouble she gets into along the way.
I don't know.
I really like Jessica, and I hope that her and Hoyt can get together again.
Me too.
But I think she's got to grow up a little bit first.
Well, but that's kind of hard because she's, I don't know.
But I mean, even though
I don't know what they're going to do with her.
17, she's got to mm-hmm. mature a little bit better.
Yeah.
More,
yeah.
And learn how to, they need to teach her because Bill, he tries, but he's trying to do the mainstreaming thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lovely ladies, I've taken up enough of your time. Sorry my email was so long. I hope you are enjoying the show as much as I am, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Much love, Mr. J.
Thank you, Mr. J, for that
Thank
email.
Thank you, Mr. J.
Keep Woo. Them coming.
Yes. And I agree with most everything he said because it was just an absolute fabulous first episode.
It was very good start to the season.
Well, if anyone else would like to get in on sending us your comments or thoughts about what's going on, you can do that by emailing us at sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our voicemail line, I'm going to give it, but, you know, we haven't had much success with it, is 972-692-7341. Our website is sistersinterview.com. We are on Facebook. You can fan us or like us or whatever it is now.
I think it's like.
I think it's like now.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also both on Twitter. I'm at _SisterK, and she is at _SisterJ. And you have to do the underscore, or otherwise you get a whole different Sister K and Sister J.
Yep.
Which is funny to me, but that's how it happened.
Yeah.
By the time we got on the Twitter bandwagon, our names were gone, so.
Okay.
All right, well, that's it. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next week.